this a 37-yard field goal for the win over the Titans for the first time in more than 2 years. Hollis, the kick from the hold of Barker. There's the snap, the placement, the kick is up. It is on the way, and Mike Hollis has beaten the Titans!
For the win, 5 seconds to play, 59 yards out. A franchise best and personal best. Snap, the placement, the kick up on the way. And he got it from 59 yards away for the win! Oh, boy! Oh, yeah! 59 yards!
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. It is a Friday brought to you by Claude Nolan Cadillac here on Jaguars Today, kicking off training camp with some kicker highlights. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and the birthday girl. What? I thought that was well played right there. You didn't think?
No, it's fine. It was good. That's why I was chuckling.
Big laugh out of you, Fat Tony. Happy birthday, Lauren Brooks.
Thank you.
24 years young today. Guys, just give us till noon before you mob her, okay? Back off. She's working. She's not a working girl. She's just working for the next couple of hours.
Thank you for clarifying that.
What are you doing special for your birthday this weekend other than Jaguar training camp?
Well, my wonderful cousin Caitlin planned a surprise party for, not party, but evening for me tonight.
Minute. Surprise?
It's a surprise. She planned the whole thing. So I have no idea where we're going or what we're doing.
Oh, it's you. So you know that you're doing something.
Yes.
You just don't know what it is.
Correct. She's invited everyone I know, and you guys are invited. Just contact her for the details.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea.
Tony, we just got the live on air. I have to invite you now invitation.
All right. It might have gone something like that.
Right, you're invited to play golf with me this afternoon, too.
Thank you.
I'm as sincere about that as you were about your invitation.
And then, obviously, tomorrow, the Jaguars brought Carrie Underwood for my birthday.
Are you a Carrie Underwood fan?
I am, absolutely.
And I love the video boards will be ridiculous.
Exactly. I love that they're also unveiling the video boards for my birthday as well.
I went to they had the luncheon yesterday for the business community.
How was that?
I snuck in. I'm not a member of the business community.
Could they tell that you were
a bombastic loudmouth? I snuck in there. I felt all slightly underdressed, but, nevertheless, what are you pointing
at? I believe that's here? Fulham FC walking in.
There they go. Fulham FC. Tony's just drooling right now.
Led by Tad Dickman.
Tony, what's going
on? Well, it was funny because we're standing here. Our view is like of the basically the tunnel coming in, if you want to call it that. And all of a sudden, all of these guys in these white shirts, all wearing the same thing, were coming through. I was like, what is happening over there? And then I saw the Fulham logo there on the chest.
I thought they're going to tell us about the Church of Latter-day Saints. But that's fine if they were. I mean,
I figured it out pretty quickly.
They're prerogative. But, Fulham will be here. So I was at the luncheon yesterday.
Yes.
And you've got the parade of speakers, Shad Khan, Mark Lamping, Dave Caldwell, Gus Bradley, and all, but Gus never gets trumped by anything when he's speaking, but all of them were getting trumped because they were doing test pattern. They were like dry running the video boards yesterday.
Yep.
Now, I never sit in the bud zone, right? We sit in the press
That's
box.
That's unfortunate.
So we have a different, well, I know, it is.
We're working. Game day is a work day.
We're working.
I know.
Unlike some members of the media, they spend the game in the bud zone and then pretend like they've been working the whole time.
That never happened.
Who shall remain nameless, but I can tell you who they are. I've got a dossier on these people. So I don't have that vantage point practically ever. I think I've been in the bud zone like twice, and generally it's been for like the scrimmage, the Saturday scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pop up there when my grueling work is done on the scrimmage sideline, observing.
Your grueling work.
It's typically grueling
from
work.
From that on-field perspective.
There are no seats on the sidelines, you may have noticed, at least for the media like us.
I have noticed.
The players don't make, area in the cool zone for us to cop a squat. So I'm up there.
You're trying to squat now.
I'm in the terrace suite area, okay? And, the great unwashed masses never get to see, but nevertheless, it's basically the same view as the bud zone. Those screens, they look like they're 6 feet away from you. They look like they're on your wall, like you're sitting in your living room and you've got a 20-foot television in your living room. That's kind of what it looks like. It was really striking because you see them. I've seen them from a different perspective and you see them from outside the stadium. But when you see when you're sitting on that perch, it's unbelievable. It looks like it's right in front of you. It's it will totally dominate the landscape, obviously, the skyline of Everbank, which will, by the way, didn't see if you guys saw this, was announced today. Vito Stellino tweeting this out, among others, that Everbank has re-upped mm-hmm. with the naming rights for an additional 10 years with the stadium here.
Which is awesome.
It's a 10-year extension. They had a 5-year, $16.6 million contract that they signed in 2010. Okay, so I guess that was 10, 11, 12, 13. This would be the final year.
Yeah.
So 10 additional years on the back end. Thank you very much, birthday girl. I can say nothing bad about the birthday girl because she is the birthday girl.
Thank you.
So I wouldn't say anything bad about you much. But
I think I'd want my name on the stadium right now, too. I mean, you're talking about the boards
absolutely.
And everything that's going on. When people are putting stories about these boards in an article, it's as simple as they're just going to have at Everbank Field.
Everbank Field.
But that's what you're paying for, is to get that brand out there.
I'm telling you, how many years did you still call it Alltel when Alltel was no longer?
I still slip it's, up.
It, so do I. So it sticks in your memory for sure. And I think it's one of the best bargains. It says the average value of the new deal is expected to exceed the $3.32 million per year average of the current deal. So it was a, 16.6 for 5 years, so they, call it 3.5, 4 a year, which is still a bargain mm-hmm. in today's NFL.
Not only do you get the value of the world's largest video boards, but as Mark Lamping has been pushing, you want an experience that's going to trump at home, right? You have to be able to surpass the HD television that you have at home with the convenience of your own refrigerator, your own bathroom. Well, now I would say we have that.
Have you seen my bathroom? It's a pretty low bar.
I have not seen your bathroom, and apparently it's going to stay that way.
Well, most are not allowed into the bathroom when they come to the house. They can find somewhere else.
Well, that's good to know for if you ever host a party.
We got a kid's bathroom, but it's got like that toilet that's like a foot off the ground. You know the one I'm talking about?
Oh, I know exactly.
I was going somewhere with this.
That's where I got sent.
Were
I was
going somewhere with this because I totally just saw a shiny object.
I was at Dempsey's house, and that was the bathroom I was invited to use. Was
the kid
toilet.
It's not so much that, it's just, I don't want to clean up.
I understand. That's what you pay people for, but that's helping the economy. But
to my wife. I was like, wait a minute. Where's my paycheck?
But I do think that this experience now that people will, for the first time this weekend, get to really, truly have something that's better than your living room. There really is not ever going to be something that you're going to get a better experience at home than you are now at the stadium. I just don't think it's possible.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, look, obviously we want the fan support to be phenomenal. We want the product on the field to match that. As Dave Caldwell said yesterday, they're not going to match what you're going to get at the stadium right now. They're not in position to do that. Their goal is to equal the kind of stadium experience that they believe the Jaguars are going to provide, which is second to none in the National Football League. And that's what you're talking about, ultimately. There's always going to be people that want to stay home and surf the red zone, although you'll have that.
Exactly.
In part on...
And Wi-Fi.
Right, and all these things. And, if you can work out that Star Trek teleporter and, just beat the traffic for that 1 hour... That's
sure.
About the last.
That just
thing.
Means you need to get down here and tailgate early.
That's what I was going to say, and
hang
then
out late afterwards.
That is, I think, what a lot of people miss is they do plan the tailgating before, but they forget to plan the tailgate after. And the tailgate after sometimes is even more fun because that's when you can reminisce about the game and the plays, and you usually have leftover food and beverages, and you get to miss all the traffic.
Today we're live at training camp. Did I mention we're right here? I can see the
we
field.
We are live.
I can see stretching going on right now. Very key. Early preseason stretching is taking place on the field as we speak right now. Limber up, boys. We don't need
and
a
girls.
I'm
only boys out there.
Boys.
My hammies are kind of tight.
All right. Well, you can limber up. I'm talking about the actual members of the 90-man roster right
now. I
see. Limber up. I can see Stephen Morris chucking the ball around. That's about what I see right now. I see Chad Henne walking by. I saw Ricky Stanzi coming out. I have not seen Blake Bortles, but I assume he's out there.
I did
see
there. Blake Bortles, and I have
see
a picture.
Him right now.
Yeah,
he's
right there.
He
yep.
Now we're all complete. We've got all four quarterbacks in.
I don't know if we're complete.
It's
but...
a pitch battle now. What do you think, Tony? Morris or Stanzi in the opener? Who's going to win that spot? Huh? What do you got? It's all about competition.
I think that when everything is said and done, that Morris is going to wind up on the practice squad, and that if Stanzi's going to be here in Jacksonville, it'll be on that active roster.
I agree with
on
you.
Game day.
And I think
totally
there's a good chance of that happening. If they really want to protect Blake Bortles, I don't think you put him the proverbial heartbeat away. If you don't feel like he's ready to start, right away. I don't want him having to be rushed into duty because your starter got hurt. I at least want to have that option to have that bridge with Ricky Stanzi before you throw Blake Bortles.
I'm waving to Scott Namzy.
Is that who you're waving?
That's who I'm waving to.
There he is.
I'm also waving to Red Bryant, Cinderic Marks, and Andre Branch.
And Cinderic's waving back, which is nice.
Of course he is.
Of course
he is. Cinderic loves me.
Yeah. I thought he was waving at me, personally. But
nope.
No, probably not. Birthday girl. All right. Use the hashtag today, by the way, if you tweet the program. Bonus points for using the hashtag Happy Birthday Lauren. Okay?
That's a lot of letters.
It is a lot of letters, so you have to use your 140 characters wisely. But if you can fit it in, you're much more likely, let's say, to win a Jaguars Today t-shirt today.
That's true, and we have, what, three with us.
We have a few. Don't mention the fact that we have a few with us. We're going to have more.
We're
going to
be mobbed?
We're going to have
what you're
more
afraid
with
of?
Us. But
okay.
Someone's instructions weren't clear.
So I thought I was supposed to get...
I'm putting the onus on me.
Okay.
Tony, because I texted Laura. I said, if you happen to be able to go by the station, could you get three of every size that we have? And she thought three in all different sizes. So I got three, and each one is a different size.
Hmm.
So they're even more... We're going to be even more selective.
Yes, and I've already promised one to somebody if he comes by. And is that... He's right there. I bet I know what his name is. Right there. I'm guessing
I'm guess
it starts
Kevin.
With a K
yeah.
and ends with an Evan. Is what
yeah.
it is. Yes.
Yep, that is correct.
And he's good about it, too, because I told him to come by on the break, mm-hmm. and he's waiting very patiently.
That's right.
Yes.
Everybody come on out. You can talk to us all you like. We just will ignore you when we're actually doing the program, for the most part.
Yes.
We won't ignore them. We'll wait.
Kevin, and he gives us a nice hand gesture, and it was a nice hand gesture.
I was going to say, you might need to clarify that.
I got all kinds of hand gestures. At some point, we'll grab various members of the sordid crew of media to
yes,
stop
we've
by.
Seen so far Tony Baselli, John Osier, Suns Out, Guns Out. We've seen Frank Frangie. We've seen, who else? We've seen Mark Long and Ryan O'Halloran.
Alfie Crow.
I mean, it's Scott Manzi. It's a parade
Manzi's
of well-known
here.
Media members.
Yes. Well-known and not so well-known members of the media are all in attendance today at training camp. It's finally here, man. We go through, Tony, we stretched a good 5 months of draft coverage this year, probably into 8 months because we started really kind of third of the way into the NFL season.
It was laborious.
We're practiced. Like, with what the Jags have done in the last, half decade, we're pretty practiced at the, we understand when the conversation switches to the draft and it's not necessarily when the season
ends. It's like week six.
Yeah.
Maybe week four.
Right. A couple of years ago, it was like, all right. How bad do they need to be to get Andrew Luck? And they just weren't quite bad enough to get that done.
Not quite.
They were obviously bad enough last year that they were in position to get a guy like Blake Bortles. And hopefully this year the conversation is less about the draft because they're drafting at least somewhere in the middle of the first round. And
no draft talk.
We can enjoy the entire regular season, at least this team being competitive.
Draft talk moratorium is what you're suggesting, right?
I hope so.
Because it'll become, instead of draft talk, it'll become – the Blake watch, if it comes to that,
yep.
right? If the season kind of goes.
For those playing at home, they can spell moratorium now.
You can try if you want to. It's not that difficult of a
yeah,
word.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
All right. Should I put them on hiatus?
There you go.
Whatever.
Sabbatical? That one's a little bit
there
harder.
There you go. Lauren's in the spirit today.
That's two B's, right?
I have no
correct.
Idea. The Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight today asks you a birthday-related question because it is Sweetness's birthday. Walter Payton.
Is it really?
It is Walter Payton. Well, he would have been 60 years young today had he lived. And Walter Payton, obviously nicknamed Sweetness, one of the most iconic players and most iconic sports nicknames. So we simply ask you today, what's your favorite football nickname of all time? Already got a bevy of Jaguar-related nicknames
mm-hmm.
coming in. A lot of people like the Big Sofa back in the day.
It's a good name.
It is a good name. Whatever that is, you can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Birthday Girl as well. Any of those will work.
You won't find that one probably, though.
At 1010XL Lauren. But if you can, really all you need to do is include a one-word answer, hashtag Jaguars Today, hashtag Happy Birthday Lauren. Boom! You're all set.
Boom.
And we'll roll just like that. So, congrats to the Jags for getting the deal done with Everbank. Congrats to Everbank for recognizing a product on the rise, and they've got that naming rights deal now locked up through 2024. They're still stretching out. There's some very key early stretching going on here during the first minutes of training camp. We'll be live with you as many days as we can, as the weather allows and the schedule allows. Tony and I will be out here, as the Jags practice quite often from 9:55 to around noon.
Yes, we will. And you can feel the buzz and the excitement from the city out here as they get ready for training camp. The guys on the field, we got a pretty good crowd out here for a Friday morning at 10 o'clock. I'm sure this weekend those crowds will be even bigger. I'm
really
curious.
Who's coming out this weekend? I'm coming out. Anybody coming out?
I should be out, absolutely.
Yeah,
I'm at least coming
hand.
Out on Sunday. I'm not sure if I'll be here tomorrow or not, but Sunday I'll be out here for practice. But, yeah, I mean, you can feel it. I know it's 95 degrees outside, but it's almost like fall is here. Now
cool.
These guys are out on the field.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. It felt 15 degrees cooler as soon as Ricky Stanzi got out there, ladies and gentlemen. It's all that much better. And find out tomorrow, you're going to want to come by and ask Lauren what she did for her surprise night out. For her birthday, 24 years
I'll give you part
young.
Of the detail.
Okay. You don't look a day over 22, by the way.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to Lauren. All right, we'll see who we pop up with next. I know Halloran was going to swing by and chat with us, but I haven't seen him out on the practice field, Tony, at this point in time.
I'm sure he's out here.
Big hush-hush gathering. Is he out there? All right, we're getting the word that Ryan O'Halloran's out
there.
I'm sure
he is. Everybody, I've seen him here today.
Everybody keeps tabs on him. You got to have the starting lineup filled out. Ryan O'Halloran, the Florida Times Union, will join us when we return, and a host of others throughout the course of the morning live at training camp. Stop by, say hello. If you're making your way out of here, participate in the program. You can always call the show at 641-1010. Tweet us. You should know the Twitter handles by now. At MD_1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony are the primary ones. And also Facebook.com/Jaguars Today. Weigh in on your favorite football-related nickname. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday since 1905. Claude Nolan Cadillac serving as the preferred Cadillac dealer here in Northeast Florida. Visit them at ClaudeNolan.com or give them a call at 642-5111. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, live at training camp day one. 2014, it's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, Jaguars Today, we are live at training camp, Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Forgot to say hello to Agent Gibb this morning, Tony.
Yes, you did.
We haven't worked with him in a while. What's up, Agent Gibb? How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
We're hanging out. We figured, let's get the band back together. We said, we'll kick O'Halloran to the curb real quick for 15 minutes.
It's the first time we've all three done this together in a long time.
Me, you, and Mr. Martin.
Yes.
You're speaking of.
Since before Jaguars Today began. We tried to get him on the phone one day, and he blew us off for something.
Yeah. I guess he was willing to come in while I was gone.
I was. So there's something to be said there.
Did someone tell you I wouldn't be here today?
I didn't see you, so I assumed it was okay to come.
How are things?
Happy football season, guys. This
happy
is great.
Football season.
It's
happy
so
birthday, Lauren. You
happy
say birthday,
Lauren, as well.
That's the number one.
Good to see everybody.
It's fun.
Great crowd out here. Just about every member of the media is out here. And,
all making connections.
All the players are out, too, except for Ray Sanders, of course, and
Justin Blackman.
Probably in jail somewhere. So.
He may have bailed out.
He did bail out.
He may have bailed out.
Being,
Admitted to smoking the blunt, and, yes, I had another one with me as well. Hey, here's what I don't get, and maybe they gave him some kind of test, and maybe more will come out on this. Wouldn't the admission of smoking the blunt automatically lead to a charge of driving under the influence? You would think, right? I mean, you admit you're under the influence of marijuana at that point in time.
That's a good point.
I don't know
how they test for that.
Because he got charged with some kind of improper
passing,
right, and also possession of marijuana less than so-and-so amount of grams, whatever the case may be. So I heard you talking about it a little bit yesterday afternoon as I was driving around. But, I mean, it's just the big thing to me is, you weren't counting on him anyway. It's not nearly as devastating. It's more of nobody really surprised. It's, you know, I don't particularly feel bad for the guy. I know the organization, they want to take care of him as a person. I think if he wasn't a fifth overall pick and they didn't have that kind of talent, they may still be benevolent in their heart, but I don't think they'd have, he wouldn't have as much leash as far as that goes.
Yeah, I think the one thing, I think fans that I've talked to a lot over these last few months or even going back to last year have always clung to the idea that he's coming back. He's coming back and he'll be
right.
A part of this receiving core and wait until he comes back. Now, it might be a while, but he'll come back. I think now even a casual fan that had hopes for that, can no longer. I mean, it's just how do you predict that will happen at this point? He's just not
right. You can't. But at the same time, I don't fault Shad Khan for coming out yesterday and saying, we're not going to release the guy.
Oh, no problem.
I mean,
with that at all.
There's a potential benefit somewhere down the line. There's nothing other than having your name your franchise name associated with him every time he pops up in the news. There's no negative. There's nothing it's costing you to have it. By the way, you've your breakfast chili already?
Unbelievable today.
It smells good.
It does smell good.
No, but the taste is awesome.
I've been saying that smell is 90% of taste ever since I heard that as a kid. It may not be true.
That's the first time I've heard it.
If that's the case, this is 90% delicious.
No, it makes sense. Have you ever been sick? Like when you get stuffy, it tastes different.
Yeah, yeah. No, I hear you.
They say if you hold your nose and you eat an apple or an onion, you can't tell the difference.
How about that?
That's what they say. I'm not going to try it. You report back to me on that.
I think you'd have to not know it's an onion you were eating it.
This will taste
that's
better
what I'm
than
saying. It's someone like blindfold, yeah. And they just put that in your hand or a spoonful of it. This
right.
is kind of the same.
Or told you it was an apple and handed it to you with a blindfold on. I think if you were looking at the onion, it's over. Because that other, like, at least some
memory,
of that
your
some
your
of that 10% is sight. Yes.
What the?
Where are we going? I mean, it's the opening day of camping.
My point being that this is the first, I've been coming to training camp since back in the day, since I was a wee lad, and Fan Cam's been cooking up the chili pretty much every year. He said he cooked it the first year when they went to Stevens Point. He cooked it at the house. And he said, why don't we just do this and bring it out? And he cooks enough to give away, and when it's gone, it's gone. But he feeds like 150, 200 people every year at training camp. And it's, I believe, the first chili delivery that I've got from him. So I feel like we may have made it now as the flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You and me had this last year, I remember. We took
delicious.
A picture together with it. And that was very good. This year's tops it.
Really?
I'm telling you, it's really, really
good. Is there
good.
Rice in there? Oh, there is rice. You know there's rice. Well, who am I asking? Is there rice in the box?
He said it's a combination of Ohio and Texas.
Is that
in
right?
Terms of it's got a little smoke to it, and I don't really know the other
got
reason
a little heat?
Why.
Do we have some heat you. In there?
Is it not too spicy, but you can add some if you want.
Okay. I probably won't. I'll probably be all right on that score. We're finally here, guys, and we've talked about the fact that there's been so much optimism for a team that's won 6 games in 2 years. What is the minimum level of success they have to have on field this year, Tony?
I think we've been talking about it. The win-loss record needs to improve. It has to be more than 4 wins. That's the absolute base. And beyond that, they can't have games where they're getting blown out consistently. And I think that
you can have one or two of those.
Right. But last year they had 8. And it was the first 8 that they played. They were not competitive really in those games. They were competitive for about a half with Denver. But beyond that, that was it. That's all that the fans got in the first half. They have to be better than that, especially at home, with everything that they're doing to try to improve the experience of being in that stadium. It can't be as bad as it's been the last 3 years for this team in that building. They have to find some way to not only be more competitive, they need to win, I think, 3 or 4 games right here in this stadium.
That's a good point. If you get blown out 3 or 4 times and they all come on the road and all your home games, the 7 that'll be played here at Everbank, obviously 1 in London, but the ones that the locals are going to get to, if those 7 games are all competitive, if you win, you know, 4 of those games and you're within a touchdown or 10 points of the other ones, I think the feeling of the fan base is going to be a lot different this year.
Yeah, we're going to root for no blowouts because all the games are on CBS and Fox and we want good ratings.
Not even
so,
Jaguar blowouts?
Well, that's okay. But I think
they're not in his mind.
Your point is well.
He doesn't think they're out there, people.
Yeah, they might not be out there yet. I haven't flipped the corner that fast. But I think you guys are right on. I mean, to me, I've said 5 to 8 is a safe prediction. If you want to be on the high side, go ahead and say 8. That's
sure.
Fine. I think if you want to be cautious and say 5, I think that's reasonable to expect. They've got a tough schedule, especially out of the gates. So to see them coming out 500 through the first 6 or 4-2 would be tough to do. So they're going to have to play catch up like they did a year ago. But the bottom line is, I think without a doubt, they've gotten bigger, stronger, faster. They are up front on the defensive side, a much more competitive and better football team. That will keep them in games. Their special teams, because of the depth they've added and the roster's gotten better, I think will be better, and it's all up to the offense. I don't know, I really don't know, how much better this offense is than last year. It wasn't very good. But there are so many unknowns, I can't sit here and tell you that it will be good when it rolls around in September. On paper, you can assume, you can hope, but we did that last year too. We've done it for the last 5 years with the offense. Hasn't been good. How will that offensive line hang up? Will Toby Gearhart be able to get it done? And what about the young receivers? Can they make an instant impact? And we don't see that all the time in the NFL at that position.
To me, health is a big question mark because I can't believe that a healthy Cecil Shorts obviously is an upgrade over an injured one last year. And then the fact you really had Justin Blackman just for a blip on the radar screen. You had a mishmash of Ace Sanders being pressed into extended duty, Mike Brown, all these guys. And while they may be bit players this year, you got to believe that even if they struggled to some degree as rookies, the raw talent of Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson is an upgrade there. Fresh legs to Toby Gerhart. And I don't think the offensive line on paper can be anything but a push at the worst. I mean, Zane Beatles has got to be an upgrade. Luke Jokel, everyone's been raving about how good he looks, how athletic he looks. You know, Tony Boselli talks about seeing the eye test. Jeff Logman, seeing the eye test, knowing how these guys move. They're not hitting guys right now. They haven't been yet. But that side of the offensive line, the other side, I don't think can be really much worse than it was last year.
No, and when you look at the wide receiver position, the guys they were relying on beyond Shorts and Blackman for that month last year were Mike Brown and Ace Sanders, these types of guys. These are young rookie players that are coming into the league as a fourth-round pick and an undrafted free agent. And this year, yeah, those two roles are being taken up by two different guys, but these are two guys that one of them they felt like they had a first-round grade on, and the other one they felt like they could have got where they got Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson. So they really like both of those guys, and they're kind of replacing, you know, Ace Sanders and Mike Brown in that young role, the next guy that they're going to depend on in this offense. They're much more talented at that position than the two guys that they were relying on last season at this point going into it. So you would feel like it has to be better than it was. We don't know how much we're going to get out of those two guys, but there's certainly an upgrade over what they were relying on there last year.
And by the way, they'll miss Ace Sanders for the first four games, but still a net win when you consider Philly will be out without the right tackle Lane Johnson. He's suspended for the first four games. Indy's without Robert Mathis. You take that trade every time with both of those teams, starting offensive tackle and the best pass rusher maybe in the AFC, at least last year, in Robert Mathis. So, you know, from that standpoint, everything else being equal, that's a slight edge for the Jags in the early going. But we'll see. What are you focusing on today? What's the CBS 47 Fox 30 angle for the weekend?
Well, it's a little scatterbrained, to be honest. There's so much going on around here. With Fulham's here now, they're out here watching this practice. We've got the video boards coming up and the big day tomorrow night as well. But, I mean, there's the freshness of training camp is kind of like the first day of snow up north. I mean, you're always kind of you get that reaction. I mean, what is it like for all these new guys? And, again, for the second year in a row, a lot of turnover on the roster and new guys. So we will do that freshness part. And we're doing first and 10 guys every single night during camp. Never done it before. 15 minutes, 10:45 on Fox 30. We've already done it Wednesday and Thursday without the football even being thrown. So we're looking forward to doing a show with a lot of energy and action going on. We may decide to throw a dart at the roster and pick a guy every day of training camp that we can feature and see. Because, again, I don't think a lot of folks that even follow the Jags a lot know these guys in and out because there are so many new players.
We'll look forward to it. If you ever feel like slumming, you know, the offer's always there. If you need me to take the day off in order to come by and hang out at noon,
they do have like three microphones in the studio here at the stadium. So, I mean,
they've got four,
by the way, three or four. So, I may pop by.
You can fit in any time you like. All right. That's Brent Martineau, of course, CBS 47 at Fox 30 and part of the afternoon crew. Have we settled on a name for the afternoon show? Is it Frangie and Friends? Is it the Brent Martineau Experience?
I think I'm still under probation. I'm not even sure if I'm a permanent fixture yet.
Oh, should I not have mentioned that you appear on afternoon radio?
I have no idea.
All right, three.
I feel like I'm always auditioning.
We call it three till whenever is how they do
that. That's how we want it, Brent. We want you to always feel that way.
Right. No, you don't get comfortable. You always got to earn. You're on incentive-laden contract is the way I should put it for the first day of training camp. Good to see you, buddy.
You too, man. Have a good time out here.
We will. Brent Martin. By the way, Tony, Axemen tomorrow, rugby.
Yeah, I'll be out there for that, and then I'm coming out here for the soccer game.
They've moved it up. Spinner tweeted me. I saw the email that the Axemen had sent out. They've shifted their game to 3 o'clock. In fact, I know they've got a toy drive going on at Wilson's till 2 o'clock today, and if you bring a toy over to Wilson's, you get a free pair of tickets to the Axemen game. It's
very cool.
It's a winner-go-home situation.
Yeah, the playoffs are starting tomorrow for everybody. So,
right. So
the Axemen will be over there at 3 o'clock at Hodges Stadium over at UNF, and they pushed it up so that anyone in Jacksonville who wants to have the opportunity to come down here to the stadium and see not only Fulham and D.C. United, but the unveiling of the scoreboards, Carrie Underwood, instead of playing at 5 o'clock, which they usually do, they're starting their game tomorrow at 3, so fans can come out and see them and then head over here.
You know why I mentioned that for Spinner? Not other than the fact that he's a good dude and we like him.
Yeah.
And you work with him. Hashtag happy birthday, Lauren.
Very nice.
He sent that with a hashtag happy birthday, Lauren. Well played, Spinner Howland. All right, we will return. We'll see if we can scrape up Mr. Ryan O'Halloran, who has made his grand entrance with his shower shoes.
The hands were extended up in the air.
They really were, soaking in all the adulation from the throngs of adoring Jaguar fans out there. He'll join us next. It's Jaguars Today, live on location at training camp on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Hi, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live at Jaguar Training Camp, day one, 2014. Friday's brought to you by Claude Nolan Cadillac. Mondays sometimes feature Ryan O'Halloran, other days as well. I was not here Monday, so good to see you. How are you?
Welcome back from your vacation.
Thank you.
Seemed to last a long time.
It really did to me, too. Like, it's one of those, do they want me back? Well, I remember what to do.
Is that an insult to me? Is that like a veiled insult?
Oh,
it felt like a long week.
That's a missed opportunity.
Somebody has self-esteem issues if it does. But you're still tweeting out that fan feedback question every day, weren't you? Or somebody on your Twitter handle.
Sort of. I was. Yes, I was very dedicated to my craft. I got a bunch of crap the other day because Ace Sanders, the suspension came out, and I'm in the car. I was coming off the golf course. Yeah, I occasionally play around the golf. And I was coming off the golf course, and Richard Miller called me. His show was coming on, and this just happened 30 minutes ago. And he goes, hey, can you come on with me? I said, well, I don't know too many details. Give me a chance to look it up. So I go on and do some live radio within an hour of the news, and I get some crap from this guy because I wasn't tweeting all about it. Ryan, you spoiled people with your constant stream of Twitter.
Well, that's what we're here for. And I had to,
I had
to turn down Richard's request because I was still writing it.
You were working.
7:55.
And I was like, yeah, I'm going home to have a sandwich. So sure. By the way, at Ryan O'Halloran, where I'm sure at some point today, were you tweeting any of your conversation with Dave Cole, or have you passed along any nuggets?
Yes, we have. Hayes Carlion put up a blog post.
He's got a blog. I'm looking at it right now.
So that was some of the things, but. A couple of quick hitters on that is Dakota Watson expected back mid-camp with a double groin surgery.
Which is earlier than, I guess, Gus had initially feared.
They initially feared week one was in trouble, but right now they feel that Philadelphia, he could be ready for them. But the thing is, you got to get him some work in the preseason because he hasn't been on the field.
Right.
So then Alan Ball probably back next week, not concerned about that. But one of the interesting parts said about Cecil Shorts so the communication, lines of communication open between the Shorts camp and the Jaguars. But he said they drafted Marquise Lee and Al Robinson to complement Cecil Shorts, not replace him. So that was a little different twist on that. I thought that they do want Shorts back, and I always thought that, but they also want him to get through the season. So,
sure.
I mean, if I'm Shorts, I try to get a deal done in camp, period, because you don't know what your numbers are going to look like with these other guys, and you haven't been able to finish the last 2 years.
Right. So I mean, the percentage that your gamble pays off, that you stay healthy and you have career best numbers, yeah, is, you know,
minimal.
Right.
Because the other thing is if this team is a little bit better, a lot of those fourth quarter numbers are going to go down. And that was about 35-38% of his numbers last year.
Breaking it down. O'Halloran is over here.
Look at that.
He has numbers and statistics.
I don't ever want to hear him talk down to those Pro Football Focus guys.
That's right.
I kept,
they just had the wrong numbers.
I mentioned that with Shorts, about Shorts, and somebody in the Jaguars says, that's not true. So I said, I looked it up. So I went back and made sure, and I looked.
In terms of the percentage.
Yeah, and the percentage was larger than I thought it was.
We were just talking with Brent Martineau a few minutes ago about, you know, we hope the offense will be better, and I think there's reasons for optimism that it will be better. I mean, the bar is pretty low,
mm-hmm,
that you're talking about, but how much better? Obviously, perfect health is rare for a football team on either side of the ball, but not knowing who may get hurt, assuming they start the season healthy, how productive can this offense be this year?
Well, it's, you know, like you said, it's impossible to put a number. Let's say they were 32nd last year. I mean, can they get up to like 24, 25? I guess because they weren't bad in the end zone once they got there. It's just a matter of getting there. And they feel like they'll be able to run it more with Gerhardt. The offensive line has got to figure itself out. You know the bodies, they just got to get together. But I think the defense is going to help them be better on offense, create some shorter fields. I mean, this team, by and large, had to go a long way last year whenever they got the ball back. So all those factors, I mean, can you avoid 2 points in the first game, 9 points in the second game, 3 points in the fourth game like last year?
That was a 2-0 lead in the first game.
That's right. That was JT Thomas's highlight.
That was the highlight till after they returned from London, really.
Pretty much.
So, for the whole team, it was like, wow!
Yeah, I would be surprised if they're not more functional, to put it that way.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think you would hope, you know, you envision in your head Allen Robinson on one side, Mercedes Lewis tight in the formation on the other. I'm talking about inside the 10 now. You got the threat of Toby Gerhardt being a big bulldozer near the goal line, and those two big targets gives you some creative options.
You know, and you can't underestimate a full year of Lewis blocking or receiving. And then also with Noe Sanders, they are going to try Marquise Lee a little bit inside now.
In the slot.
In the
right.
slot, and he'll play all three spots or whatever. But, you know, this team, I think this team's best setup right now is in three wide, one running back, one tight end. It gives you a lot more options. You pull the fullback out there when you need him. But, you know, if you have Shorts, Lee, Robinson, a healthy Lewis, and a Gerhardt, that's a lot better than last year, week one, which was Shorts, Stephen Burton, MJD, who was getting nicked up already, and Clay Harbor. Clay Harbor's a good tight number two, maybe not number one. So the personnel's better. The production should be better.
We were talking as well with Brent a few minutes ago. Tony, we've all talked about this to some degree. What's the minimum bar of improvement that will satisfy the fan base this year?
Well, the way I look at it is I split it into two categories. The first one is, does Chad Henne start 16 games? Then a proper jump should be from 4 to 6 wins. You know, you get seventh maybe. If they're 3-7 at the bye and they decide it's time for Bortles, then your record may be 4-12 again.
Right.
But I think the fans will understand, if they have half a brain, which many of them do, that you're going to take a step back with Bortles. It's better to do it at the end of 14 than the beginning.
Right. If Bortles looks considerably better at the end of his sixth game than he did when he started, yeah, that would be the progress you're looking
yeah.
for.
Yeah. And at that point, you should be about evaluating what you have for the next season. I mean, you're sure you want to win.
Oh, if you're 3-7, absolutely.
Yeah.
Is that still how you feel it's going to play out, too? I know that's kind of been where you think this team is heading this whole time since they drafted Blake Bortles, that after that bye week, he's probably going to get his opportunity to play. Is that how you still feel about this team?
Yeah, probably, just because the schedule is so tough early, you know, and they played so bad at home. You know, they're going to be an underdog in every game, but can they squeak out a win over Cleveland, over Miami? Can they... You know, can they win at Washington in week two? So, you know, if they're 4-6, then they're justified in keeping. If they're 4-6, that probably means that Henny's playing okay, and then they're justified in keeping staying with Chad. If they're 3-7, it's probably because they're not scoring a lot of points. You know, the worst case scenario for them is they get back from San Diego, they're 0-4, and they're averaging 11 points a game. Then what? Probably would stick with Henny, but. You know, Bortles is going to be one snap away. He's going to be the number two quarterback. That's something Dave reiterated today.
He did say.
Yeah, and to me that's been a non-issue from what I've been told throughout. So, but Henny's been extremely durable with the exception of the shoulder injury in Miami. So it's something they don't want to talk about, but they have to think about.
Does Stansy then have any chance to make this football team?
Well, I think he does have a chance because they kept him last year as a third quarterback, too.
Right.
You know, they had Gabbert and Henny, who were more experienced than Henny and Bortles. So, I mean, it all depends on preference. Do they have injuries at other positions? They'd have to hide a guy on the 53 for the first 2 weeks. Let's say Watson wasn't ready. I'd probably hurt a guy like Stansy.
Right.
Because you got to keep an extra linebacker. So I think it comes down to roster. But also, does he show he could throw a forward pass, unlike Mike Kafka last year? They wanted to keep third quarterback Kafka. He couldn't walk and chew gum.
Right.
So.
Well, I just think, I mean, look, if you're going to put Bortles a snap away from being the starting quarterback, to me it doesn't really matter who's back.
It doesn't. I mean, to me, do you keep two and then just keep a practice water? You know,
right.
And like you said earlier in the spring, is the percentage of a disaster happening within a game are pretty minimal. But if it does, just put Denard in there, have him run read options.
Right. At that point, if you've lost both your first two quarterbacks, you're probably going to lose.
I mean, you just want to get on the plane at that point.
Right. So, to me, I just think Stephen Morris has some intriguing upside, you know. Big physical stature, very strong arm,
yeah,
and obviously a knowledge of Jed Fish and what they want to do. I don't think he's going to, you know, light the league on fire, but I'd rather develop him at this point, I think, than Ricky Stansy, if I were the Jacksonville Jaguars. What are you focusing on for this weekend for the TU?
Well, I think we had 7 stories in today's paper because we had some breaking stuff. But tomorrow, we'll have every day when the practices are open, the media will have practice recap, highlights, lowlights, attendance, et cetera. But one thing I've been working on for Sunday is Aaron Colvin. Was going to be a second-round pick if he didn't get hurt. Got hurt the Senior Bowl, coming back now. He just started cutting and running full speed last week. He wants to make a tough decision in week 9, say he wants to be ready to go. So talking about him playing at Oklahoma, talked to a couple of people from his family, so that'll be what's in Sunday's paper, and then also we'll have the scoreboard unveil.
Your thoughts on Justin Blackman? I mean, Chad Khan obviously saying yesterday no plans to release him at this point in time, just, you know, more of the same. It's not like anybody was counting on him in 2014 anyway.
Yeah, and now you probably can't count him for 2015, I think. All the things he's done wrong since he was banned.
Right.
You're looking at minimum 2-year suspension, I think, just looking at some other guys. But, I mean, I would cut him just because I don't think he's a great player. I don't think he's going to come back and haunt you. And also, I think he's embarrassing the organization right now. I mean, before he was just, you felt sorry for the guy. He was embarrassed himself. Now I think he makes the Jaguars look bad.
I think right now, if he was had a clear head, everything, you know, out of the way, I think he's the best player on this 90-man roster is on this team. That's my opinion.
I think he's barely a number 2 in this league.
Boy, you and I differ greatly on what number 2s look like then. I think he could be a high-end number 2. I think on several teams he'd be the number 1 wide receiver. Doesn't mean they'd have the best wide receiver core in the league.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a complete 0 at this point. You're not going to be able to count on him.
From that aspect, that's a big,
and I,
yeah,
so,
that's
I
a
mean, if
play.
I'm the Jags, I say, okay, let's just cut bait. You know, granted, you don't, you know, Shad said that because you don't have to make a decision now because you're not paying him. He doesn't count on the roster.
Right.
But the only thing, other thing he could do that's worse than what he's doing now is he drags one of his teammates into it. You know, fortunately for him, it's in Oklahoma and not
nobody's
here.
Talking to the, I think there's very little chance of that happening.
Well, I would disagree with that too because if he's in Jacksonville, he's talking to guys.
But is he in Jacksonville?
Well, he was this spring when he flipped his car on 295.
Yeah, that's true. I get the feeling he's not going to be in Jacksonville anytime soon. So,
well, he needs to pay some. He's overdue on some home runners. He's in Queen Harbor.
Look, I don't want to even. I hesitate to even say this because I don't want to be misconstrued as making light of the situation. Ray Rice will tell you, I guess it's better to punch a woman in the face and get 2 games than
let me weigh in on that.
Smoke marijuana. You got 30 seconds.
It shows you 30 seconds, and I'm gonna rip a particular topic. DeMaurice Smith is a complete moron. The Players Association agreed to that kind of suspension protocol and gave Roger Goodell, judge, jury, and executioner,
a
new CBA because D. Smith knew he was losing the players at when the lockout started because when the checks weren't coming. So blame the league about the drug policy all you want, but it'd be one thing if you had 1 failed test and got 2, and then 2 failed tests, you got 4. You have the free test.
Oh, I'm not blaming the league about the drug policy. I'm blaming Roger Goodell about how do you...
It's a personal conduct thing.
Ben Roethlisberger got 6 games, was accused by 2 women, never charged with anything, and no charges resulted from it. He got 6 games reduced to 4, and Ray Rice apparently cold cocked his fiancée right in the jaw and knocked her out in an elevator, and... But he's a great guy.
But let me. Well, he's. I mean,
according to John.
I mean, John Harbaugh. Come on. I mean, not a big deal. I mean, ridiculous. But in 5 seconds is if there's no charges, then it really just gives the commissioner open latitude.
I know it does, and I don't think he used his latitude in a very good way to do it. Put it that way. I ceded my last 5 seconds to the distinguished Mr. O'Halloran from the Florida Times Union. Check him out on Twitter at Ryan O'Halloran. Monday.
Yes.
We'll see you Monday on Jaguars Today with Ryan O'Halloran, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Let me tell you about Foundation Professionals of Florida. As we know, the fans are the foundation of any organization in the National Football League. Foundation Professionals knows that your foundation is the basis of keeping your home safe and secure and sound. You got to know the symptoms of a faulty foundation. Exterior and interior wall cracks, windows and doors sticking, cracks in the foundation, obviously, sloping floors. Any of these could be signs of a much more significant problem. Call Foundation Professionals of Florida. They'll work with you. They'll work with your insurance company. Financing's available. Call them at 287-2690 or online at foundationprosfl.com. That's foundationprosfl.com. Back with more Jaguars today. We're live at training camp on a Cardinal and Cadillac Friday. Coming up next from Big Cat Country. Our buddy Alfie Crow's going to stop by.
Yes, he is.
And chat up a little Jaguar football straight ahead on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, high noon, halfway through Jaguars today, live at training camp practice. Florida Blue practice field. So now, there are a lot of sponsorish things you're going to mention. Florida Blue practice fields.
We have
the General RV broadcast bus down here for 1010XL. We've got me and you, brought to you by Claude Nolan Cadillac every Friday. This date in football history, which is brought to you by Dr. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Not much going on this date other than in 1954. Arguably the greatest running back ever, arguably. Walter Payton was born, would have been 60 years old had he not died an untimely death. Probably everybody thinks their death is untimely. I've been thinking more about that as I get old. But nevertheless, Sweetness, I debated doing your best Walter Payton story because I had a doozy.
I know you do.
I can't say it on the air. I really can't. I know that's terrible radio to tell you that. So today, we ask you to tweet us or post on the Facebook page your favorite football player nickname for a chance to win a Jaguars Today t-shirt. And it doesn't hurt if you have the hashtag Happy Birthday Lauren in there. I enjoy calling Alfie Crow the most dangerous man in Jacksonville sports media because some people think he's subversive. He's just basically a nice guy who likes craft beer and the Jacksonville Jaguars in soccer. Is that that's pretty accurate description?
That's pretty much it.
He's a handsome bearded fellow. Are the beards staying in for a while, you two? Or are they
Well, I look about 12 years old if I'm clean shaven. So, yeah, it's going to stay in some regard.
That's kind of trimmed up for you, though. I've seen it where it's a lot of hand.
I shaved at the start of summer because it was just too hot and the AC in my car is broken, so... But by the time it's really good and thick, it'll be chilly outside.
It'll be a playoff beer.
Right.
For the Jacksonville
Jaguars. I don't know
Jaguars.
If I can grow it that long.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean,
the wife might disagree with
that. How about a playoff contention beer where they're mathematically eliminated?
Okay.
Then you have the option to...
I think I can work with that.
...to go either way. How's things going with Big Cat Country?
Fantastic. Getting our training camp coverage kicked off. Obviously, the first day of training camp. I'll be here, I believe, every practice doing some camp reports when at the conclusion of practice. If we see people tweet videos, pictures, we try and put them all up on the site. So everyone who's not in town, because, as you know, we have a big Jaguars following out of Jacksonville, so they can kind of see what all is going and follow along.
Get a little
taste
of the flavor.
Right, get a little taste of Duval.
If people want, do they submit photos to you?
They can tweet it at either me at AlfieBCC or at Big Cat Country. They can post it on Big Cat Country in the comments. They can post it on our Facebook page, and we'll get it up there.
How many years for Big Cat Country?
Oh, gosh. I want to say Byron Leftwich was still the starting quarterback. When I took it over.
You remember that name?
So
Byron.
Six, 7 years, I guess.
When it first started, blog was such a dirty word back then, was it not?
It was. In some circles, it's still a dirty word.
It's
but,
funny how that works.
But with
I remember Mike Freeman used to just rail against bloggers.
Right, now he
works
for
Bleacher Report. Yeah. Oh!
And now with newspapers and everyone else having blogs as well as their editorials, it's kind of crept back a little.
They're catching up.
Yeah, they're catching up. They finally caught on to the digital age.
And it really has because, you know, there's so much available to people out there but you can focus in on one team or one particular aspect of a team. And I think that's been kind of the model of SB Nation.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is we want to give the kind of regionalize the coverage and give the fan the voice that they didn't really have before, and with the internet, you know, anyone can say whatever they want. So,
what's the access like? Let's be honest. How has your access grown over the years, and is it still where you want it to be?
It went from me sitting in the bleachers
right?
with a laptop, tethering to my BlackBerry, tweeting to like 20 followers, to now I get credentials to training camp, to press conferences. I still don't have full credentials yet. Hopefully I'll get there, but I'm actually accepted now as a legitimate, I guess, news person.
They don't come up to you on the sideline anymore and say, excuse me,
who are
you with?
It's funny, last year I had a security guard come up to me. He's like, who are you with? And I was like, SB Nation. And he was like, what's your name? And I'm like, Alfie Crow. I was like, Dan Edwards knows I'm here. He's right over there. And he's like, well, let's go over and talk to him. And he, like, escorted me over to Dan Edwards like I wasn't supposed to be
It's one of those situations, like, they always tell you, if you act like you know you're supposed to be there, they'll never mess with you.
Right, I was
but
just
this
standing
guy
there,
wasn't going
to
buy it.
No, I was just standing there talking to, I think, Mark Long or John Osher, and he's like, who are you? And I was like, all right, well, let's go talk to
Alfie's name dropping. Yeah. The whole Jaguars Today crew. By the way, you're going to hopefully be joining us.
Yeah, I figure if I'm going to join it, I might as well name drop the other guys.
Right on, man. Getting good with them. You don't need to get in good with them, right? You need to be good with Lauren. If you're in good with Lauren, you're pretty much good with the program.
It's her birthday today, right?
It is her birthday today. See, he's playing along very well. Alfie Crow here with us. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony. We're live out of training camp day one out here. Pop in and say hello, at least for the next few weeks, Tony and I, every day, weekdays, that they'll be out here from 9:55 till noon. We'll
Absolutely.
Be broadcasting live out here. What about the team, the product on the field? What do you make of the offseason?
I think they had a really good offseason. I like the draft they had. I was if you follow me or read me, you know I'm a big proponent of don't wait on a quarterback, and if you like one, take one, and that's exactly what they did and what they needed to do.
You were angry at the I saw you as angry.
I was
at the people that suggested that they had soured on Teddy Bridgewater
right.
at all.
I just didn't understand how you could go from, all right, you watch all the games, you love him, think he's a top 10 pick, and then all of a sudden when it's practice against air and all this other stuff, it's like, oh, now he's terrible. I'm like, well, you games are what matter.
Absolutely.
But I find the whole draft process now over the top and comical. It's just, it's too far. It's too much. They overthink it a lot of times.
I say that now. I agree with you wholeheartedly because it's late July. You wait till next February.
Yeah, it'll creep right back around again. But I like the moves they made in free agency too, with getting a proven offensive lineman and Zane Beatles, and getting, I think, Chris Clemons and Red Bryant were the worst kept secret that they were going to grab those guys when they were eventually released. It adds depth to that line. It adds a proven pass rusher that they desperately need now that Babin's gone. So I think they had a very good offseason.
Even when they didn't have a dynamic pass rusher, they had Bobby McCray have the 10 sacks 1 year, but when they had Stroud and Henderson, you never felt like the line was a bad defensive line.
Right.
But it's been a few years now since you felt like that was anywhere close to being a strength of the team, at least on the defensive side of the football. I think that's the best unit if you're talking
right,
about
the
linebackers and secondary.
I think the defense this year is going to surprise some people. I think it'll be it's not going to be a dominant defense, but I think it'll be very good enough to keep them in a lot of games where they're not going to get, you know, the doors blown off of them like they did the first half of last season.
Blake Bortles, for you, when do we see him first in, barring injury to Chad Henne, when do we see Blake on the field?
Personally, I would just start him, but that's me. I would just throw the quarterback out there. But with them saying they plan on sticking with Chad Henne, I would say the earliest probably the bye week, because it falls right in the midway point of the season, so it gives you half the year to kind of assess what Henny's giving you on the field, where the team's at, and where Blake Bortles is at.
If Henne, though, keeps them anywhere near wild card contention, do you expect? I mean, as long as that happens, let's say they're 4-4, whatever, you know, record that keeps them within a game or so of the last wild card spot, don't you think they'll roll with him?
Yeah. If they're in playoff contention or close to, you know, hovering right around 8-8, I definitely think they'll stay with Henne. But if they're, you know, out of playoff contention early, or you're like 2-6 at the midway point for the year, I think you might as well just go ahead and throw Blake Bortles out there.
Ever see Justin Blackmon in a Jaguar uniform again?
No, absolutely not. I didn't think so before, but I think yesterday just completely hammered it home.
And is it because you think the team has just said, forget it, enough is enough, or you just think that he's never going to put himself in position?
I don't believe, I mean, everything he's shown so far, I don't believe that he cares about playing in the NFL.
There's no
anymore.
Indication whatsoever.
He clearly doesn't take it seriously, and that's his prerogative. He's leaving millions of dollars on the table, but everything he's shown, he doesn't care enough about playing professional football to do what he needs to do.
All right, so Big Cat Country this weekend, what are you focusing on, something specific with the start of training camp, or just seeing what stories develop?
I'm going to see what stories develop, but I'm really going to keep an eye on the wide receiver position, because as we know, without A. Sanders, and you got the two rookies, and of course Blake Bortles, because that's going to be what everybody wants to talk about.
All right, he is Alfie Crow. most dangerous man in the Jacksonville media. Not really, but
I probably won't fight you.
It amuses me. At LBBCC, at Big Cat Country on Twitter. You and Hack going to go hug it out now, you and Hacker?
Maybe.
You guys are pals, right?
Me and Frangie hugged it out.
I saw that. That was unbelievable.
I guess we got to hug it out with Hacker now.
What a weird dynamic has enveloped.
Maybe I can teach him to ride a bicycle.
Is it all Gus Bradley's positivity?
It's got to be. It's infectious.
Man, maybe you can. If you can teach him how to ride a bicycle, I don't know, man. We'll cede the show to you. You'll be the new host of Jaguars Today. I don't think anybody's getting Hacker on a bicycle. Good to see you, though, and look forward to getting your perspective all throughout training camp and throughout the season on Jaguars Today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, you got Alfie Crow, Big Cat Country. Check him out online. It's a great source of team-tailored news. Obviously, you Jag fans know about that already. And a reminder, this date in football history, it is Walter Payton's birthday, is brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're on Gate Parkway. You want to stop snoring mouth guard? You need Invisalign. You just need a good family dentist, 620-9225, or visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. We're going to see if we can grab the ozone. I don't know who Lauren is going to bring us next, but we'll talk with another member, not as nearly as dangerous as Alfie Crow, though.
Probably not.
The Jacksonville Jaguars. Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday continues live at training camp. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, it is Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Yes, the birthday girl is magically clutch today, although I do appreciate Agent Gibbs spinning some who for me back at 1010XL World Headquarters. Nicely played, sir. Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. We got the Ozone. Senior writer himself, Johnny O. John Osher.
Is that Put the Women in Front?
What's that?
Is that the Who song, Put the Women in Front?
I've always wanted to do one of those shows, the Misheard Lyrics show. Yeah. Is that what you thought that was?
No, a buddy of mine in college would always say, yeah, it's one of those things that always sticks in your mind.
Apparently, Jeff Prosser's Lovely Bride thought that More Than a Woman from Saturday Night Fever was Bald-Headed Woman.
I like that.
Bald-Headed Woman.
I like that.
That's great. We must kick around some misheard song lyrics with the Ozone. Break it down. What have you seen, John?
I've seen the inside of my laptop because I've been writing. Dave Caldwell. The writers talked to Dave Caldwell a little bit.
Just the writers.
He went over some topics this morning before this.
The print room, as they say.
So I've seen J.P. Shadrick. I've seen Brian Sexton. Because we're doing some live stuff, and so I'll get out after this.
You'll
see,
really focus in.
Well, the first part of practice, part of what we have to do on Jags.com is get some stuff ready to write right after practice.
Yes.
So I have to write a little bit in terms of injuries and stuff, so my head is in the laptop at first anyway. But the last half hour of practice is what I'll try to figure out what's going on the field. So.
See how difficult he made his job sound
He did.
All these things we have to be ready to work and...
No, it's not hard. I'm just not very good at it. So
okay.
I make it harder.
I think you're excellent, and your self-deprecation will not stand here whatsoever. Obviously, it's good to just have them out on the field. We've been waiting all summer long, talking about kind of the same storylines.
Right.
And now we'll actually, over the next few days, have some stuff new to talk about. We talked with
the other side of it, too, Mike. Obviously, this first day, still not in pads.
Right.
Still not a whole lot to see.
What is it? Next Wednesday? Is that first
Wednesday,
day?
Yeah.
Pads?
Yeah, there'll be shorts and pads, I believe, this weekend. There's some shoulder pads on this weekend at some point. In terms of the hitting, in terms of what we think is old, it's not knocking football, Mike. That doesn't happen until next week.
I love nothing much more than knocking
some snot.
You've knocked
some snot in your day.
Oh, are you kidding me? When I knock snot, it stays knocked.
That's
okay. There's no question.
If you have to have something to hang your hat on, I guess that's
that would be it. I'm going to get a hat that says Snot Knocker on the back, because I hear that's in. If you put, like, your name or your nickname on the back of your hat or the front of your hat, that's a popular trend in radio.
One interesting thing, Mike, that Dave Caldwell talked about today that I've written and talked about on Jags.com Live today. We sort of thought all along that Blake Bortles was going to be the backup. But there's kind of been that hanging Chad out there, if you will, not Chad Henne,
no
hanging Chad,
intended.
What happens if Chad gets hurt week one? Is Ricky Stanley the guy to go in? Do they have Blake Bortles go in immediately? Caldwell basically said today that Bortles is going to be the backup, and if something happens to Henne, he's going to be the guy to go in. So that was interesting to me. You sort of sense that. I had never really heard Dave say that yet. So
It's interesting from a standpoint because they say that we're going to play Blake when he's ready.
Right.
And then presumably if you're not playing him, he's not ready.
Right.
And but you may force ultimately.
And that's sort of the philosophical thing, isn't it? Right. You know, is if he's not ready, then why aren't you putting him on the field?
Well, I mean, Hedy's been durable.
Right. And I think it's one of those things that I think the great Ryan O'Halloran said it. You sort of set your plan in place. You have a backup plan. And once the season starts, the season is going. You're there. You got to go, and you got to make decisions based on what happens. So I kind of get that. You go into the season with Henny as your starter. You let Blake watch everything. You let him be there. You let him be involved, and you play it out as long as Chad's there, as long as he's playing well, as long as it's fine, then you go with Chad. And at some point, Dave Caldwell's quote today was something along the lines of, when will Blake play? It'll depend on Blake's maturity and the team's maturity. So I think it's going to be something where I'd be surprised if there's not daily conversation between Gus and Dave. Hey, where are we at? What's going on? And a constant monitoring. And at some point, you get the idea that they'll know. You know, it'll be talked about by us. And then at some point during the season or during the offseason, they'll know when the time's right.
And part of that will be predicated on, obviously, what the team's record
yes.
is at that point in yeah. time. And that's why I think for Chad in particular, but for the team and for the fan base as a whole, getting off to at least a 2-2 start
right.
in his first four games is going to be so big.
Well, somebody mentioned, while I was talking to Dave, and somebody said, well, if you're 3-7, then what happens this? And it's kind of a long pause. He goes, well, I don't think we're going to be 3-7. but the implication being that, you know, you go into it, and just like you said, you have to a 2-2 start. You play, you figure out where you're at, and we want an answer right now, you and I, right? That's our nature. We want to figure out what's going on. We want to write it. We want to talk about it. Well, from the team's point of view, this Blake-Chad thing is going to happen in real time. You know, they're going to figure out every day. It's going to be what they're dealing with every day. Right now, Chad Henne goes in as the starter. And I'm sure they'll evaluate that already. They're thinking that's going to last for a long time. But once the season plays out, then we see what happens.
What do you want to see from Blake in terms of improvement? Will there be noticeable improvement, do you expect, during training camp and the preseason from what we saw this summer? Obviously, he said he's been working on different stages
uh-huh.
of his progression. And whereas maybe we're hooked on the deep ball that flutters a
right.
little bit, that's not the area he's been focusing on.
I guess what you hope for, and you were out here and saw it, there were a few times, and I don't remember the exact amount, but there were times during OTAs where Gus talked about Blake didn't have a great day, came back, talked to us, and then came back and rebounded. Well, and then by implication, there were also days where he was pretty good. So what you would hope for are fewer of the bad days. You hope as time goes on, you look for more consistency, and you look for him to do the things he does well, which to me was, as a rookie, as a young guy, sort of naturally feeling pressure, sort of naturally moving around. He was a guy who, when there was pressure, even in practice, even with, you know, where he knew he wasn't going to get hit, he would sort of drift to the spot where he knew he was going to have to drift to during a real game. He seems to have a good grasp of that. And then he seems to be able to look and see that second read, that second level path. So you would hope you start seeing that very consistently. And we're all going to look at it. There's going to be a day next week where he has not a great practice, and we're all going to write that he didn't have a great practice, and it's going to be an up and down. I'm doing my hand here, but an up and down graph going all over the place. What you want to see is overall by the end of the preseason that he's better than where he is now. And that there hasn't been too many big, you know, lulls in the system, if you will.
Very good of you to tell us what you were demonstrating. We don't have the cameras like Jaguars.com.
Well, you know, you've got to be aware. There's so much media out there,
medium.
Mike. There's a lot of media out there. You know, new media, that's a big buzzword.
We're just talking to Alfie Crow. Is that still new media? Is Big Cat Country new media after 7 years?
To me it is, but I'm an old man. So that's
us. Dirty bloggers.
Laptops are new media to me, Mike.
I think that, honestly, just from a layman's observation of Bortles, the thing that stands out to me the most is his, using a football term here, eye level.
Yep.
When he does escape the pocket, or when guys are buzzing around him, realizing he knows in the back of his mind he can't get blown up, he can't get hit, but he really did seem to have a very good command of, like you said, of going
right.
into that next read, at least seeming to from the sideline of looking down the field. Always, he's not scrambling to get out of trouble so much as he's scrambling to open up an area where he can hit a play down the field.
And Jed Fish talked about that a little bit in OTAs, that he really liked, like I talked about earlier, the fact that on a play, he didn't stand with cement feet in the pocket with guys floating around him in a situation where if it was a game, he would get hit. So sometimes a quarterback in practice will stand, know they're not going to get hit, and they'll throw a great ball. Well, Blake seemed to have that ability to know, okay, the pocket's breaking down. During a game, I'm going to have to drift out. I'm going to have to get outside the pocket. So it seems like he has that ability to maybe practice the way the game's really going to be played, keep the eye level up. Again, it all changes once you're really getting hit out there. Then that's where you really got to judge the guy. But all we've seen so far is what we've seen. And what we've seen on that front has been pretty good from Blake.
I would expect the fans are hungry to see those two second-round wide receivers as well, because we saw so little of them. We got teased with some good performances very early on. I'm excited to see those guys. I mean, honestly, that's probably what I want to see most of anything, because I've seen a lot of Blake over the course of OTAs. I want to see Marquise Lee, and I want to see that the hamstring for Allen Robinson, the ankle for Marquise is in the rear view, and it's going to stay there.
Well, I didn't get a chance to watch it much today, but at some point tomorrow, the next day, I'm going to sit there and watch Jerry Sullivan work with these guys, because you've got to figure that he's anxious to get his hands on. They've done the film work. They've talked about stuff during meetings. Jerry has said both of these guys are attentive. They get it. But at some point, Jerry's going to want to be on the field with these guys and grinding them on the details of how to get open. He is such a perfectionist in terms of how these guys are supposed to run routes. Cecil Short said at the end of OTAs, it really doesn't matter if these guys are ready to be coached or not. They're going to be coached. So that's going to be such a key development for Jerry and for the offense. The difference in getting Marquise ready and Allen ready, even if he gets them to where they're productive on two more plays a game, well, if that's each, that's four more plays a game, could be key. So their development's going to be key because they're going to be on the field. And there can be a huge difference. Receiver's tough as a rookie. If Jerry could even get those guys to average as rookies, then the offense gets better.
You know, as Jerry will tell you, Tony, he's hilarious, honestly. They haven't been coached until they've been coached by
me. Right.
So
right.
It really is where...
Jerry doesn't lack for confidence.
No, he doesn't. But you know what? His track record backs it up. So
we saw a lot of that early on in the offseason, too. When those guys were able to be on the field, it was after every rep that either one of those guys ran, that Coach Sullivan was talking to them about something they did. He was either saying, yeah, that's it, or you need to be doing this. It was after every rep that either of those guys took.
Well, when you talk to Jerry, he always uses the phrase, I know how it's supposed to look. And for Jerry, you can sort of see him out there. He's got a picture in his mind of how you have to be with your body positioning, with your feet, with all that stuff. That's how it's supposed to look. And if a guy runs a route that doesn't look like that, it doesn't matter if it's Mike Brown, if it's a rookie free agent, he's going to tell him to get it how it looks. And Cecil Shorts is the guy who I always talk to about Jerry, because everybody remembers Cecil in 2011. Jerry came in. Cecil was willing to listen. And you could see it during OTAs in 2012 that Cecil was gravitating toward it. Not every guy in the lineup was gravitating toward it. Cecil was on Jerry's hip. He wanted to learn everything because he knew this was his ticket to be able to figure this game out. You hope that Lee and Robinson take that same approach.
Yeah, and I think, you know, following, and they'll probably gravitate towards Cecil and do kind of the things he's done.
Right.
Going to Larry Fitzgerald's camp, obviously, which probably Jerry Sullivan advocated for him to do.
Well, Jerry's got, you know, and a key there, too, he's got the respect of the players. He's got the respect of these young players. He's an older guy. He's not going to coach that much longer. But Larry Fitzgerald, Cecil Shorts, players listen to this guy, and players tell other players, this is the guy to listen to. You know, so there shouldn't be much of a, you know, that young kid resistance. Oh, what's this guy talking about? If these guys are smart, they'll be listening to this man.
And somebody tweeted to us, Tony, over the course of the summer, the most impactful thing Mike Mularkey did was hire Jerry Sullivan. And he's the holdover that they were smart enough and lucky enough to be able to hang on to. Let's hope it...
And it's key. It's key, Mike. With that position, I know fans get sick of me saying it, it's so tough to contribute and be a real factor as a rookie wide receiver.
We all think about when C.A.J. Green and Julio Jones come in to do it.
Well, we all think about, you know, this fan base thinks of Jimmy Smith. I covered Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison. These guys who the offense can truly rely on, where you know on third and seven, you can go to this guy, and seven times out of ten, he's going to get an 8-yard out, right? Well, Jimmy could do that.
But how long did it take him to get to that point?
But it takes a while to get there,
right?
Because those things are not necessarily – that's not necessarily a talent-based skill, the ability to do that. It's more knowing the route, knowing the timing, knowing what has to be done. That's usually an experience-based skill. So you hope this year that Cecil's the guy who can provide that and let these young guys learn behind him.
All right, what do you got coming up this weekend on Jaguars.com?
Well, today I'm going to be writing a little bit about David Caldwell. The conversation this morning was interesting. Dave doesn't talk a whole lot during the season. He sort of defers to Gus. So Dave said some things. That's what I'm going to be interested in writing this afternoon, is what Dave Caldwell have to say. Blake Bortles today, you know, while the quarterback talks, when the quarterback talks, everybody listens. So it'll be that, and it'll be basically getting our coverage started. We're going to have first off the field, as we usually do, which is a very quick digest of what happened in practice that day. And then we come back with what we call a camp report, which is just sort of an overall notebook. Anything going on in camp, that's what we're going to cover this afternoon.
All right, you can't be a fully informed Jaguar fan without being fully immersed in all the coverage of Jaguars today, headed up by the senior writer, John Osher. And have we settled? What day are you doing with us next week? Is that open for bid?
I think we're just sort of playing it by ear, right?
We're playing it by ear. That's what we're going to do. Johnny L. will be back with us next week on Jaguars Today. At some point, I'll see you out there over the course of the weekend.
Look forward to it, buddy.
Thanks for stopping by. There he is. The Ozone, he's rocking the aviators as if you didn't know that already. And as Lauren would say right now, sun's out, guns out. There they are. They're out. He's flexed them for us. Johnny O, Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. You're right about that. It is a good thing it's radio for a lot of reasons. Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday, since 1905, our friends at Claude Nolan Cadillac have served as the preferred Cadillac dealer for you here in Northeast Florida. They've got the largest selection of new or pre-owned Cadillacs in Jacksonville with absolutely no dealer fees. And by the way, the only Cadillac dealer in North Florida to sell and service the ELR. They've got an on-site body shop. They'll paint and repair all models. Claude Nolan Cadillac, guaranteed to offer you the highest level in customer care and service. The elegance and experience of driving a Cadillac, only a step away. Build your lasting relationship by logging on to ClaudeNolan.com or stop by and visit them at 4700 Southside Boulevard. Call 642-5111. That's 642-5111 for our friends at Claude Nolan Cadillac. Coming back, Tony and I will take a look at some of the fan feedback today in terms of your favorite football nicknames, a further wrap-up of day one of training camp going on as the players are out there practicing on the field right now. Plenty more to come. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, Jaguars Today coming down the home stretch. Day one of training camp at the Florida Blue practice fields. Stop by, say hello, Tony. I'll be broadcasting many of these training camp mornings. And I think I couldn't get a full gauge because I haven't been running over. They're practicing on the far field right now. To look back and see how jammed the stands are, what's the crowd looking like today?
It was pretty good there for the start of camp. I think they started coming kind of in and out, maybe moving down to the second field, which is where they're doing a lot of the 11-on-11s today in practice. But, yeah, it was a really – both these bleachers that are usually set up for these things were packed in, at least for the beginning of practice. But I think they've been kind of moving around a little bit.
They've got some bonus bleachers. And I think a big thing, too, is – with so many open dates, and you know you're going to be able to come out, I think the next couple of days are really going to be when you see it packed, and of course out of Bertram Trail.
And honestly, I mean, we're talking about these two bleacher stands that they usually have set up. There's no shade on those. And I think a lot of people came in setting those, and then after about half an hour said,
roasted.
You know what? We're going somewhere else.
I feel like I'm in a frying pan.
Yeah.
Birthday girl's back with us. What are you doing
back
out there? Are you getting a lot of birthday greetings?
I got one loud birthday greeting that said, oh, hey, Lauren, happy birthday. Are you now 18?
See, she's going backwards in time.
I am, and I'm loving every minute of it.
What are the birthday plans? What do you got going on?
I told you it's a surprise. So I have no idea what I'm
tonight,
doing. Yes, the surprise is tonight. The plans have been made. People have been notified. Hopefully y'all have by now. I don't know. I was certainly sincere when
I mentioned
that earlier.
Oh, yeah, by the way, you can join us, too.
You can totally join us.
If you want. I'm not sure where we're going to be, and I can't tell you who to contact to find out.
But, you know, that's worked out well for me, because on Twitter I've had a few people saying, what are you doing tonight? And so now I can say it's a surprise. I have no idea.
Well, that tracking device I installed on your car will probably come in handy at this point.
That is true.
See this guy out here? He's got a jersey with my name on it.
That's very nice
of him.
It is nice of him.
I'm sure I was the Dempsey he was referring to.
I'm sure.
Are the Fulham boys still out there?
I have not seen them recently. They probably didn't want to get overheated, is what I'm thinking, because they do have an open practice today.
do they?
They do.
I want to see, and DC United will both kick some footballs to the uprights.
Maybe they'll do that after practice.
Right, because honestly,
I know a bunch of the different teams that are here on their North American tour getting ready for the season in the Premier League. They've been up at NFL camps. Like, I know Tottenham practiced with Seattle earlier this week. I don't know how much they participated, but they actually participated to some degree in practice.
I would love to see Richard Sherman kicking a soccer ball around.
Oh yeah,
I just don't want anyone who happens to be on any one of my 17 fantasy teams to pull anything playing against Tottenham. Okay?
The best part is, I mean,
Hotspur.
When you have 17 fantasy teams, don't you have a player, every single player in the league almost at this point?
Now, there's some like Dwayne Bowe who I refuse to own on any of
embrace
my teams.
Embrace the Dwayne Bowe.
Can't do it. Can't do it. All right, embrace the rainbow of Dwayne Bowe. Not for me, however. All right, let's take a look at some of the feedback we got today. Do you have your Twitter up?
I do.
Oh, look at you. You're crafty over there.
I know what I'm
doing. Today,
he's mobile.
Today we asked people what their favorite football player nickname was, because it was the 60th anniversary of the birth of Walter Payton. Sweetness, as he was known to many.
It's a great name.
It really is. And he had some sweet moves out there on the field. Tony, give us a sample from the Twitter sphere.
Here's what we got on Twitter from Christoph. We got the Nigerian Nightmare, Christian Okoye. That's one of my favorites, too.
And we've interviewed him many times.
Yes, we have. From Tommy, we got the Refrigerator, William the Refrigerator Perry, Gerald the Ice Cube McNeil.
By the way,
second.
That's a good one, the Ice Cube. But the fridge, to this day, If Walter Payton's rolling in his grave every time his name gets brought up because he stole his touchdown.
Way to go, Ditka.
Thanks, Ditka.
Man.
Why don't you go trade your whole draft for Ricky Williams?
Chicago made you a legend, and what do? You were paying with the fridge scoring a touchdown instead of Walter Payton.
Come on.
From Doug, we got Primetime, Neon, Deion Sanders. He had a lot going on. His always showed up during Primetime. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag Happy Birthday. From Janet, we got Pot Roast. Hashtag Jaguars
today. That's a good one.
Hashtag Happy Birthday, Lauren. From Jason.
Thank you.
Jay Smooth. There are better ones out there, but the memories associated with that one shoot it up to the top for me. Hashtag Jaguars today. I'm sure a lot of Jags fans out there share that sentiment. From Jason. Not his birth name, so it shouldn't count. He hated anything that even sounds weak, so he changed his name to Max Strong. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Dusty, we got Primetime. Hashtag Jaguars today.
Sure.
Hashtag Happy Birthday, Lauren. Hashtag Shut Up, Randy. From G, we got Cocaine Jones. No. God of Thunder. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag Happy Birthday, Lauren. I really wish that God of Thunder thing had caught on.
So do you know who else you share a birthday with?
My uncle. My uncle Alex.
Who else?
I don't know.
Brisket. Brisket was born this morning.
Was he really?
Baby Beef.
Was he really?
Baby Beef.
That's right. They said that she was going to be, I think, induced this morning, right? So, yeah, it was scheduled. And there's Fulham, by the way, walking back in. Happy birthday to Baby Beef.
Baby
Brisket.
Beef. Little Brisket.
The Brisket is
congratulations.
Born.
Congratulations.
6 pounds, 14 ounces, 20 and one quarter inches long.
That's a lot of brisket.
With a 13 and three quarter inch head.
Yay! And Mrs. Beef is doing well?
It doesn't say, but I'm going to assume in the absence of any evidence to the contrary that
okay.
She is just fine. So congrats to the Butte.
And that's a wonderful nickname.
Right there. Brisket?
Brisket.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
I think Brisket would be, if Beef had his druthers, Brisket would play in the NBA. But with that DNA, there's no shot at that. So maybe like a goalie for the Blackhawks
there you
or something
go.
Like that, right?
There you
because
go.
You don't have to be fast necessarily.
No.
Beef is deceptively quick on his feet. Let's see. Henny Badger. It's not a thing yet. We got this one on Facebook from Douglas Pelsey.
It's going to become a thing
yet, but it should be. Might make a sign like this to take with me to the season opener versus Philly if I'm feeling brave. And it says, Henny Badger don't care. And it's got Henny's face superimposed on a badger.
On the honey badger,
Sure. I assume it's the honey badger.
I kind of like it.
Honey badger's
yeah,
bad
honey
hair.
Badger.
That's pretty cool.
Honey badger doesn't give up.
A lot of votes for Megatron.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's all right.
What's your favorite?
I was thinking about that. I don't know if I've... I mean, I'm a Jets guy, Broadway Joe, but that's not like my favorite, you know?
Yeah.
Alfie, we asked Alfie, I don't know if we asked him on the air, he said he always liked Natron Means Business. That is a good one.
Oh, that is a good one.
That is a good one.
I love Megatron.
It's all right.
But I'm a Transformers guy, too. So.
Yeah, I'm not a Transformers guy. It's fine. Maybe
too tall?
Like the Human Torch or something, I'd be more impressed. I don't know.
I thought you would like too tall, since you're tall.
No.
We interviewed him. Was he last year? 2 years ago we had him on, and taking a picture next to that dude, like, I'm already not tall. I'm not short.
Sure.
But I'm not tall. My goodness. Does he dwarf a normal person?
All right. Well,
earlier, I did tweet a picture of Tony Baselli standing next to one of the Fulham players, and there's a slight difference in height there.
Sure.
This one from Neil Dickinson. I don't know if he wrote this. I'm going to read this to you. Happy birthday, Walter Payton. On the field, they described him as sweetness. In his legs, he was loaded with fleetness. This better not have any bad words in it. When he carried the ball, many records would fall, and he rose to unrivaled eliteness. He was born in southeast Mississippi, where the air very seldom is nippy, where Old Glory is flown and where peanuts are grown, then are processed and made into Skippy. He played football at Jefferson High, where his talent and strength caught the eye of scouts and recruiters who soon were his suitors and offered him gifts on the sly.
Ooh.
Jackson State was a school he attended, where Robert Brazil was befriended, where there weren't many fights as there weren't any whites, so no turf to be breached or defended. Okay. In a game back in 72, he became part of football's who's who, scoring 7 TDs with comparative ease. Then the team went and hoisted a few. And on it goes, and I'm about halfway through it. But
oh, wow, that's
I don't know
lengthy.
if he wrote it or not. But,
pretty good.
It was. It's probably worth the effort for a Jaguars Today t-shirt.
I think so. By the way, Agent Gibbs, his favorite, Beast Mode.
Beast Mode is a good one.
It's a pretty good one.
I didn't need to see Beast Mode.
He jumps on and tells.
Yeah, it's a pretty good one. The one I submitted is a pretty good one. That was pretty tremendous.
Well done, Andrew. Well done.
Tremendous. Who's laughing? Is that Hacker laughing in the background?
I think
there?
So.
That's,
no, it's not Hacker. He's not here yet.
Oh, is it not? Okay, you better hustle.
Whose laugh are we listening to?
I don't know. Somebody.
Sounds like a laugh track in the background.
In the background.
No, I was
there.
Thinking about a Deacon for Deacon Jones is pretty sweet. Night Train Lane.
Yeah, I like that one.
Is one that jumped to mind.
What was Deacon Jones' real first name?
What's his real first name?
Fred Jones. Bill Jones.
It wasn't Deacon.
The Minister of Defense.
David. Was it David?
David Deacon Jones.
I think so.
So they had two good ones then.
Yeah, that's
David,
pretty good.
David Deacon Jones is correct.
Nigerian Nightmare. I'm looking at a list of them now.
Mm-hmm.
Galloping Ghost.
Yeah. They had good ones back. Crazy Legs.
Yeah, Concrete
Galloping
Charlie.
Ghost.
Chuck Bednarik was
Concrete
Charlie.
Concrete Charlie was awesome, by the way. What a
Slinging Sammy Ball.
White Shoes.
The Assassin.
Who's that? The guy that took out Daryl Stingley, right? Who was played for the Raiders? Well, I can't think of his name. Come on, Tony. Can't bring up the Assassin and just drop that out there.
I know. They don't have the name in the...
FD. No, who was he? Come on. We all know. The guy who paralyzed Daryl
Jack
Stingley.
Tatum.
Yeah, I know exactly.
Jack Tatum.
There
thank
we
you
go.
Very much.
That's right.
I didn't look that up, by the way.
For young Agent Gibb back there. I don't know. The delay between me saying who was it and you jumping in gave you plenty of Google time there.
How about the Freak?
The Freak's a
I like
one,
that
too.
One. Spencer occasionally will call me a freak, so
you're the freak?
I tend to lean towards the freak.
How about that? I wish we had more time to explore that line of questioning.
Because I'm frenetic.
Oh, is that why?
That's why.
All right. Gene Frenetic. That would be good.
That's a good
Gene
one.
Gene was like that, but he's more like Gene Laconic. He's kind of he's laid back. And all right, today, who did we have on today? We had the wonderfully talented Brent Martineau stop by.
We did.
John Osher.
Say hello. Johnny O.
Ryan O.
Ryan O. And Alfie Crow.
Alfie, that was all right.
O. Crow
Martineau.
And Martineau.
Yeah.
Oh, very nicely played.
And baby Amelia came out to see us wearing Jaguar attire.
Oh, that's very sweet. Baby Amelia is so cute. She's got matching shorts just like you.
She does. Mine is on polka dot.
Alfie wanted to give a big shout-out to Hacker. He was looking to hug it out with him, but Hacker had to head back to the studio. So I hope he's listening for that verbal long-distance request hug-out right here. We're all part of the family, right?
We are.
Jaguar Media family right here. It's fun to be out here. We'll see you out here this weekend. I'll be out here tomorrow with Lauren. Sunday with Tony and maybe Lauren as well.
You never know when I'm going to show up.
I'm still questioning whether you're making it tomorrow. Okay, I'm thinking, in fact, after Friday night surprise birthday celebration,
you never know.
You're not making it tomorrow.
That's
my bad sketch. You shake your head. No. Thanks to Claude Nolan Cadillac. They bring you the show every Friday. The fantastic crew from 1010XL headed by Ben, intern Ben, and Rakeef with
Thank
the General
you,
RV
ben.
Broadcast bus. Always on the scene. And, of course, major Tom Champion as well. Where did Tom Champion?
I don't know. I think he must be taking notes on the practice.
Did he sneak out of there? Because this is his laptop. It's a really nice laptop, and I could use an upgrade. So let me know if you see him in the next few minutes. See you out here this weekend. Hope you enjoyed our first day of coverage from Jaguar training camp. As you could probably gather, not a ton going on. The best news today would be no news, right? The only good
they
news,
almost made it through an entire off season with nothing.
Oh, that yeah, right. Hopefully we're past the whole that
right.
Nonsense
and the last 2 days
news.
Have been a hurricane.
Right. The Ace and Blackman or Orange is the New Blackman has been suggested as a very popular.
That could be a T-shirt.
That's pretty good, right? I mean, yeah. You got to admit that is pretty clever. I got to say. Although he probably is not going to a women's prison anytime
probably not.
Soon. But you never know. Just visiting. All right, that does it for us. We hope to see you out here this weekend. We'll hand it off to XL Primetime coming up next. Happy birthday to the lovely Lauren Brooks. If you see her out and about tonight, tell her you'll see her out of practice tomorrow. She will laugh in your face, ladies and gentlemen. For Fat Tony and all the aforementioned, for Joe Fortunato, for Agent Gibb back at 1010XL World Headquarters, I'm Mike Dempsey wrapping up Jaguars Today live. From training camp, day one on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.